but it extends the life of your engine. Let's face it, with the high price of gasoline, it's time to take action. Purchase a protective fuel system treatment for only $9.95 and receive a free engine treatment, which is a $12.95 value free. Call 888-USE-SFR1. That number again is 888-USE-SFR1. Or check them out online at oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. And it's safe for all cars. Act now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is William Grigg. And, of course, William Grigg, formerly the senior editor there at the New American Magazine, now, of course, working for the Wealth Society, and, of course, he keeps up their blog site. You can get his book, which we carry, Liberty in Eclipse, and, of course, you want to get onto his blog site and get his regular writings. William, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Dr. Stan, thank you once again for having me.
And what are we going to talk about today?
I think it's worth mentioning, in connection with what's going on with this economy, this undead economy that we're living in right now, the fact that over the weekend you had, if I'm not mistaken, both the head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank and also Mr. Bernanke, the chief commissar of the Federal Reserve System, go and participate in last week's Bilderberg Conference in Virginia. And apparently the purpose of this was to vet the proposal that came out in the Financial Times on Monday, which is a refinement of something we discussed before, Dr. Stan, the idea of making the Federal Reserve pretty much the banker first and last resort for the investment economy, turning them into the global supervisor of the entire investment banking community, the de facto is, they're already the de facto central bank for the world, but to make them more or less de jure, formally and officially, the great and premier central bank of the world, and turn them almost entirely into a cookie jar for the finance industry, the world of high finance. So it's sort of a role they've always played, but they're becoming more vulgar and obvious as time goes by in their desire to make sure that the politically connected high echelon investment banks are taken care of at whatever expense they inflict on those of us who actually work for a living and see the value of what we earn and what we try to save steadily stolen through the creation of liquidity, as they call it. That's basically through inflation, by depleting the value of the dollars in circulation, by putting out more, by promising to put out more in order to cover the expenses and the losses and the operating costs of these investment houses. I think it's really interesting that on Monday you had both Ben Bernanke and Timothy Geithner, Mr. Geithner, of course, is the head of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, both give pretty major speeches to the effect that the economy is doing just fine. We seem to have tamed the problems here, stemmed the hemorrhage that had been incurred through the collapse of the subprime mortgage loans, and it doesn't look like we're really going to have that much to worry about with respect to inflation. And, of course, a number of conjurations were uttered, and a number of phony reports were issued talking about how the economy is relatively healthy in spite of what happened last Friday, when you had the Dow slough off the better part of 400 points, and at the same time you saw the price of petroleum go up to nearly $138 a barrel. The latter, and I think both of these events actually had something to do with the fact that there were many ominous statements made last week to the effect that before the Bush administration leaves office, war with Iran of some sort is a near certainty. And I see that Paul Craig Roberts, a former Treasury official under Ronald Reagan, in addressing this issue, said that one thing that's happening right now is that a lot of these investment banks are bidding up the futures market and petroleum here because of the liquidity that's being pumped into the system by the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is inflating. That money's going directly into speculative investments in petroleum futures. And so that helps explain why the price of oil, which was about $27 a barrel, I think as recently as 2002 or 2003, now is north of $130 a barrel. And that, of course, is just a beautiful example of what's happening here in terms of this huge redistribution of wealth from the embattled middle class into the hands, the pockets, the investment holdings of the politically connected high echelon investment banks and the people who run them. Anytime you go to a service station, to a convenience store, just yesterday here in Payette, Idaho, town of 7,000, rather unremarkable community demographically and otherwise, on four separate occasions in the course of about an hour and a half yesterday afternoon, I heard four different people who apparently have no real interest in politics talking about how terrified they are over what's going on with the economy, and specifically what's happening with energy prices, because these people understood that you simply cannot maintain a middle-class standard of living with the price of energy rising meteorically the way it is right now, where you're seeing a geometric increase in the price of gasoline, the price of heating oil, and things of that sort. Just yesterday when I went to fill up the tanks on our family van. We're a family of seven. We have five small kids. We have to have a van. We don't have the advantage of being able to drive a small hybrid vehicle the way that some people can. At the gas station where I go to fill up, which usually is 2 or 3 cents a gallon below the prevailing price here in the valley, I noticed that there was a 12-cent a gallon increase between 9:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon, and several people commented about that as we were trying to fill up our vehicles. And so you have this sense that the treadmill is accelerating and that the angle of difficulty is rising and people can't keep up with it. But yet we're going to see more of this sort of thing, because that is the Bilderberg anointed and elite appointed role now. The Federal Reserve is to make sure at whatever cost to the rest of us, the politically connected big boys on Wall Street don't suffer as a result of what's going on with the collapse now of the credit markets. And that's something that's going to get much, much worse over the course of the summer. It's going to be a really bad summer. By the time fall rolls along, we're probably going to have a full-blown, full-orbed economic crisis to deal with. I don't see how we can avoid it.
Well, I think it's really very interesting that in the past, the Federal Reserve System lent to commercial banks. It did not lend to investment banks, where it's into speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But now that has changed, and suddenly in the effort to stabilize the world financial system and help out their friends in the banking industry, the Fed, which is supposedly a branch of our government, as you and I know it is not. It is a privately-owned central bank designed by bankers, for bankers, to benefit bankers. But now they're beginning to, of course, lend to investment banks. And as long as they can get money from the Fed, they encourage this sort of speculation and driving the prices up. They've got nothing to lose, because if they get into trouble, the Fed will bail them out. The Fed should be letting them go belly up, because that what would ordinarily happen would happen to you and I if we were to invest in things that were of no value. But they have invested in things of no value, and what happens? Why, the Federal Reserve is giving them money and taking as collateral the toxic garbage, the material that they have, the loans that they have that have no value, and of course will very soon be a burden on the American taxpayer. So they're going to protect the banks and destroy our currency. It's quite obvious.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at the value of the dollar such as it is. I believe that the value of the dollar in real terms is going to be completely destroyed by the end of this decade. I don't see how we can avoid it. The mathematics suggest that it's something akin to a miracle that it hasn't happened already. Since 1913, the Federal Reserve has managed to destroy the value, something like 95 or 96% of the value of the dollar, if not more than that. I'll have to see if I can adjust the figures or find somebody who's done the math. But it's north of 95 or 96% of the dollar, the value has disappeared. Due to the persistent inflationary policies of the Federal Reserve. And now they've gotten into the business where they're overtly a tool of the investment banking community. And they're singing plaudits to themselves as if this is a very wise and frugal and prudent course of action. And they're doing so in a way that is very, once again, I think the only word that applies is vulgar. I would have expected them to try to be a little bit more stealthy when they suddenly redefined their role here as being obviously and unmistakably a tool of the investment banking elite. And that's something which has happened. It's a very dramatic change in the announced role of the Federal Reserve. Of course, most of what they've done has been done by way of deception. They supposedly were created to prevent booms and busts. They engineer booms and busts. That's all they've ever done. They were supposedly created to protect the value of the money in the banking system, when, of course, what they've done is destroyed the value of the money in the banking system. Every fractional reserve bank in this country is bankrupt. If you have money in a bank, you have money in the bank only in the hypothetical sense of the expression. You don't really have tangible funds that can be withdrawn in the event that there is a complete meltdown of the banking system. And so everything that the Federal Reserve has stood for has always been a lie, beginning with the name of the institution itself. It's not federal. It's not a branch of the federal government and thereby subject to some kind of accountability through our political system. But as they have redefined their role over the last quarter, over the last half, for the first half of 2008, where they're obviously the handmaid of the investment bankers now, they have been very brazen about it. And I think it's because they have convinced themselves, the people who are running the Fed system and the associated elites, a very representative sampling of which was assembled at Chantilly, Virginia last week for the Bilderberg Conference, they've convinced themselves that the public is either too distracted to care or too terrified by the various crises, both engineered and real, to be paying that much attention to what's going on with the Federal Reserve, when really they are the focus of evil in terms of our economy. They're the ones who are pretty much the prominent defining institution of the elite that is destroying our standard of living and is very close to completing its long-pursued objective of destroying the American middle class. I mean, the middle class right now is facing literal extinction, and that is a terrifying thing to anybody who understands the role that the middle class has always played in being the bedrock of free, civilized society.
Amen to that. I think that we're going to see very difficult times, as William says, before the end of this year, and whether they're going to collapse the economy, whether they're going to try to build the economy up to get McCain in, and then it'll collapse afterwards. Certainly, whatever happens at the time of the election, I'm sure by next year, by January, February, March of next year, why we'll be in the full throes of a depression, and certainly people are going to be losing their jobs and losing their homes. But the most frightening part of this is the progressive destruction and erosion of a dollar, because you destroy the dollar, you destroy your annuities, your pension plans, you destroy your insurance policies. And they can pay you back in worthless dollars. And that's, I think, what they're planning on doing. We'll be back in just a moment here with Wood and Grieg, right here at Genesis.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the advanced Berkey Light purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn, help, shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. I should say at the Genesis Network. Our guest, of course, is William Grigg, and we're talking about, of course, the state of the economy. And I sense, of course, the concern of the American people. I have a number of people call me for financial advice, although I'm not a financial advisor. I don't charge for what I say, but I tell them what I think is going to happen, and I tell them exactly what we say here over and over again. We're moving into very, very difficult times. We're facing a truly financial tsunami that can sweep away the economic and commercial development of this country literally overnight. So you pick up the story there, William.
Well, it's already happening in some sectors of the economy where you have developers in California who overbuilt the housing market, suddenly offering these McMansion, overpriced McMansion-style homes, two for the price of one. That's an amazing thing. I've seen the print ads, and I've seen some videos from YouTube and elsewhere on the Internet where people have been advertising literally that you can buy two homes for the price of one in California. Here in Boise, which is about an hour away from the little town in Idaho I live in, Payette, Boise is the only city in Idaho, and like a number of other cities, you've had these bus tours that have been put together by a number of the developers and a number of the mortgage lenders here for the purpose of people going through and taking a look at all the properties that are in foreclosure. And so when you have these promotions of foreclosure tours taking place in cities as small as Boise and also throughout the Midwest, you know that things are going really, really haywire with the economy, given that the one pillar of the economy that was holding up the rest of the consumer economy was the real estate mortgage and refinancing element of what was happening. People, of course, were using their homes as a source of financing. They would take out second, third mortgages on their homes as a way of consolidating consumer debt or enhancing their household liquidity so they could go out and buy items in the consumer markets. And there was an attempt, a last-ditch attempt. I think this is literally the last ditch that we have before we actually fall into the abyss of an outright depression, was the so-called stimulus package that was passed, where the American households were being given these checks in multiples of $600, depending upon the number of dependents that you have in the household and the number of people for whom you filed. We were given these stimulus checks, and of course this is something that was arranged in the worst and most economically destructive way possible, a $168 billion stimulus package that consisted of money that had to be created out of nothing and then borrowed by the federal government at interest be put into the pockets of people who are already overtaxed rather than letting us keep more of our money by cutting taxes and then cutting a corresponding amount of spending, which would have been a genuine stimulus package that would have had a marginal but I think substantial impact in improving our economic circumstances if they had pursued that course. They did exactly the opposite. They borrowed more money, which once again had to be created at the expense of all of the money in circulation, and gave it back to us as a gift. And so you have a really perverse spectacle here where the people who rule us devised a way to make a gift to us of our own plundered wealth, and then they delivered it to us in a fashion that makes us poorer for receiving it and spending it. There was an economic commentary that I thought was really quite arresting by a fellow by the name of Max Kaiser. Mr. Kaiser is sort of a left-leaning commentator, but he gets some of the fundamentals right here when he was talking about the stimulus package. He said, if every American had said no thank you to Bush's stimulus check and refused to cash them, the value of the dollars in your pocket right now in terms of purchasing power would go up by a factor greater than the face value, $600, of the stimulus check. In other words, if you didn't spend those checks, you'd be richer for it. The reason being that America does not have a hard money economy. It's a debt-based fiat currency economy. All the money in circulation in America has been borrowed and then relent. So borrowing more money, $168 billion for the stimulus package, on top of America's current multi-trillion dollar debt load, will continue the Bush, Paulson, Bernanke, and he might as well have said Greenspan, trend of debasing the purchasing power of your money and therefore raise the price of goods and services by more than the $600 gift.
Well, you know, go right ahead.
I was just going to say, once again, I wanted to reiterate that the thing that should have happened is that if they wanted to stimulate the economy, they should have cut the taxes and then cut spending by a corresponding amount. That's the only way that you're going to bring about any kind of positive change in the economy right now. It's the last thing they want to do.
In fact, somebody once said, you know, of course, with that $600 everybody got, why, of course, they've got to spend it at Walmart. That'll help the economy in China. they, of course, want to go out and buy shirts and clothing. A lot of that's made in Thailand. You want to buy fruit out of the vegetable market? Why, of course, that money's going to go to Honduras and Guatemala, where so much of our fruit comes from. Do you want to buy a household appliance? A lot of those are manufactured in Mexico. But the only thing you can really buy here in the United States that we have an exclusion on is pornography and prostitution. And
there you go.
What a sad commentary on America today. We'll be back in just a moment with William Grigg. We're right here at the Genesis Communication Network as William describes what's happening. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We've been warning you for a long time. The financial tsunami is upon us, and are you prepared to get to high ground?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water and is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF Shower Filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz, author of 15 books on health and natural healing. Vaccines included, medicines kill more people every year than any illness. The cost of drug side effects in America is more than $200 billion annually, with the worst toll taken by antibiotics. But there is a cure for this medical madness that has remained secret. OxySilver, developed by NASA scientists to keep astronauts healthy, is an evolutionary new dietary supplement making deadly vaccinations and antibiotics obsolete. Taking 1 to 2 teaspoons daily boosts natural immunity without drug toxicity. OxySilver combines oxygen and silver in a new way. The oxygen becomes a supercharged germ killer, freeing your immune system to fight colds, flus, cancers, and more. Build disease defenses naturally, painlessly, powerfully, safely, and inexpensively with OxySilver. Order your supply now by calling toll-free 1-877-817-9829. That's 1-877-817-9829. Do it now.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Of course, our guest is William Gregg. And before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your blog site and get the benefit of your wisdom.
I really appreciate that. My blog is entitled Pro Libertate. It's a Latin phrase. It means for freedom. If you go to the Google search engine and type in Pro Libertate in Gregg, that'll be the first thing that'll pop up. As a matter of fact, if you search Pro Libertate on Google, that's probably going to be the first entry. But the easiest way to find it is to go to the homepage of the Welch Foundation, which is the right source, and the URL or web address for the right source is rightsourceonline.com. That's one word, rightsourceonline.com. The top of the page is a banner ad for my new book, Liberty in Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. And if you scroll down about a third of the way down the page and look at the left-hand side, you'll find my photograph. And next to my photograph, there's a hyperlink that will take you directly to the Pro Libertate blog. I try to update it between 3 and 5 times a week, depending upon my circumstances and the demands that are being made on my time. And the purpose of the blog is not to be, once again, just a series of random entries where I comment upon various passing items of interest. That's what a typical blog is like. My blog is meant to be a 3 to 5 times a week work of investigative polemics. I have a point of view. I don't hide it. And what I try to do is get beneath the skin of a story having to do with the all-encompassing assault on freedom and use my blog as a way not only of commenting about what's going on, but hopefully about advancing stories that either have gotten no attention or gotten nowhere near the attention that they deserve. I spend a lot of time talking about the assault on the FLDS community in Texas, for instance, because it was such a high-profile and such an undisguised exhibition of what the CPS, so-called Child Protective Services bureaucracy in this country, does every single day to some family somewhere. And here, of course, you had a group of people living in a discrete community, in a religious commune, who were being treated for the purposes of this assault as if they were one extended household. And so you had, in really sort of a dramatic fashion, a very large, an abnormally large illustration of the type of thing that is happening on a much smaller scale in every state of the union, practically every day of the week, where families, admittedly flawed and imperfect families, headed up by parents who've got a lot on their mind, are being run through these horrific bureaucratic nightmares where on the basis of no evidence at all, people are being separated from their children, and children are being used in a cynical and corrupt and quite frankly, damnable way to attract federal subsidies for the purpose of child care. They're basically being stolen from families for profit. This happens tens of thousands of times a year in this country, and I spent a lot of time talking about the FLDS case because I didn't think that it got anything like the attention that it deserved, and most of the attention it got, I thought, was by way of trying to create misinformation so as to palliate the public. And I'm happy to say that the way this turned out, although it's by no means an unambiguous victory for the parents who had their children taken and then returned to them, because now they're under the scrutiny of the court and they have to be subject to unannounced visits by the same CPS bureaucracy that abducted their children, and they're still trying to find some way of framing a criminal case against some of the parents in this community. They've not in any way gotten out of the woods yet. But I'm happy to say that the overwhelming public reaction to this has been supportive of parental rights. And it, some fleeting cause for optimism. I'll take it where I can find it. But that's the sort of thing that I've spent a lot of time on in the Pro Libertate blog. I talk a lot, unfortunately, I have to, about the militarization of our police culture and the concomitant escalation in lawless and needless abuse of private citizens by our militarized police. I talk about the way that the federal government has created the system now where we have the rudiments of martial law in place. It's just a question of how tightly they want to close their grip and how quickly they think they can do this without destroying the system when it's still in its sort of infancy. And I spend a lot of time talking about issues of war and torture and the way that these are being used to build up this unaccountable government armed with all this armature of oppression that we now confront. And I think, once again, as I said in the last segment, Dr. Stan, it's gotten to the point where people are not all that concerned, typically, about politics, are beginning to feel the pressures, not only economically, but in some ways, if you will, psychologically, with respect to the fact that they're always under scrutiny by the government, and they have come to an understanding of just how precarious those benefits of civilized society that they enjoy and those liberties that they had exercised really have become. And once again, the purpose of my blog is to help develop that understanding on the part of those who read it. To the extent that I can assist in that calling, that's something I try to do with the blog.
And you do a very, very good job of it.
I appreciate that.
I recommend it very, very highly to our listeners there. And is rightsource.org.com.
Rightsourceonline.com.
Rightsourceonline.com. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. What are we going to talk about next?
Well, we were talking before the break about what's going on here with the so-called stimulus package and the way that the stimulus package was generated. We ended up getting some share of our plundered wealth returned to us in a way that made us poor for receiving these checks and spending them. And, of course, $600 is not a whole lot. I mean, if you have a household, a lot of dependents, of course, you get multiples of that. But it's still not a whole lot when you're talking about the fact that it was immediately eaten up by price inflation. Rather than being able to go to Walmart or Target or any of these other big-box retail stores and spend the money on some poorly engineered and indifferently made piece of consumer ephemera, almost everybody who received these stimulus checks and saw fit to spend them, as opposed to saving them or using them to buy precious metals, which is probably what I would do, most people that received them immediately had to pay an increase, a radical, breathtaking increase in the price of gasoline and the price of food. And so you've got a situation here where nothing is being stimulated by the stimulus checks. What I say on my blog, the most recent installment I have in my blog is called The Economic Stimulus, Making the Dead Parrot Twitch. The title refers to a comedy sketch done by the Monty Python comedy troupe in Great Britain back in the late 1960s, where a man had bought a parrot. A man had bought a parrot, and the instant he left the pet store, the parrot fell dead, and so the man went right back to the pet store with this cage containing this dead parrot, and he was trying to convince the store proprietor that the parrot was dead, and nothing he could do would get an admission wrung from this proprietor that he just sold this man a parrot who died. And at one point, while the two of them are arguing, the pet store proprietor reaches over and shakes the cage and says, "See, the parrot moved. He's still alive." Well, that's what's going on with the Federal Reserve right now. They're trying, and then the Bush administration, they're trying to find ways of making this dead parrot economy twitch. And they used the stimulus checks for that purpose. That didn't work. On Monday, you did have these two speeches made by these two luminaries from the Federal Reserve System, as well as a comment by Bush on his way to Europe to the effect that he wanted to shore up, stabilize the dollar. And on the basis of what you could call the placebo effect, there was a brief, ephemeral, and completely pointless rally on Wall Street. And there was a sense that the decline of the dollar had been arrested. But not really. I mean, you take a look at the fundamentals of the economy and look at the fact that the deficit continues to grow, look at the fact that people are fleeing from the dollar because its value has been destroyed as a reserve here, as an instrument of reserving value. What's happening is that you're basically plateauing on the way down to oblivion. And you made an interesting point as well, Dr. Stan, before the break about the fact that if you wanted to spend this stimulus check on something that would help the American economy, You really couldn't spend it on anything that's made domestically apart from, I don't know, pornography and prostitution. Well, as a matter of fact, we import most of that, too, from what I understand. I'm not a consumer of either, but I do know that a lot of people who come here from Asia and the former Soviet Union and places of that sort, a lot of the females who come here end up being sold into slavery, whether you're talking about women in New York or on the West Coast who end up in these so-called exotic dancing clubs or working directly for people who are brokers of prostitution. A lot of them are illegal aliens who are brought here for the purpose of carrying out these economic roles. So even if you wanted to go out and be a patriotic consumer of these prurient products, you couldn't do that anyway. I mean, unless you're spending the money at a farmer's market, quite frankly, where you're buying locally grown produce, which would be the best thing you could do, by the way, if you're not going to grow your own produce, to go to a farmer's market and buy something that's grown in the same immediate biome that you live in, you're probably not going to be able to do anything that's going to contribute to the American economy on account of the fact that we've been completely deindustrialized. And just about everything that we consume here is in some sense, being produced by other than Americans. And that is a really dramatic change. For the last time we confronted this type of an economic emergency 70 years ago, there was a time when America was an insurgent economy, when we were tooling up, when we were the young and virile and emerging power in manufacturing and industry, and when we had the collapse of 1929, and we had the exacerbation of that collapse through the interventionist policies of Herbert Hoover and then FDR, we still had industrial capacity that was simply laying fallow. You ended up with a situation where they had to demobilize some of the industrial plant at the time because they'd overbuilt it, and then, of course, we grew into the industrial capacity, and then we had to build more of it. But we've undergone engineered forced draft deindustrialization over the last 30 or 40 years by way of a conscious design to make us artificially interdependent with the rest of the world. I don't believe in autarky. I don't believe that we should throw up a portcullis around or bring down a portcullis around the borders of the United States so that we never trade with other countries. I do believe, however, that it is suicide when you're dealing with the natural organic needs of a society as large as ours with the type of resources that we have here and the type of capable, talented population that we've had. It's utter suicide to be making us needlessly and artificially dependent on manufacturing overseas, which has been the policy of successive administrations since the end of World War II. And so we have a situation now where we won't be able to grow our way out of the impending collapse, at least not for the foreseeable future. Who knows if we'd ever be able to do so? I mean, I guess there is some ironic and fugitive satisfaction to be had in the fact that when we go down, Europe's going to be right behind us, and China's not going to be far behind either, Europe and the United States, and it's just going to be a race to see who can undo the ruin of these many decades of economic insanity.
Well, I think it's so important, though, William, that people understand that during the time of the Great Depression, we still had a solvent currency. We still had gold backing to our currency, so they could not just massively expand the amount of money in circulation. We did not have a fiat money system. Maybe Americans couldn't own gold, but there was still a requirement by law that there had to be gold backing for our currency. That no longer exists. Today we're in a totally fiat money system. There are trillions of dollars out there in money and credit and nothing to back them up. It's all a house, a financial house built on sand, and this thing is coming down. It happened in ancient Greece. It happened in ancient Rome. It happened in Florence. It happened in Venice. You're talking about the 1500s and 1600s. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen right here throughout the world today, only there are going to be far worse consequences ever before, and freedom as we've known it will simply very soon, I fear, become a remembrance of things past.
You made a point earlier about the presidential election and how that there would be some interest on the part of the elite in trying to keep the economy at least superficially turning along until John McCain would be elected president as a preferable candidate to Barack Obama. The thing is, both of these candidates are wholly on subsidiaries of the same economic elites that brought about this catastrophe. John McCain's, one of John McCain's chief advisors is former Senator Phil Graham, who has been very deeply involved with a lot of the investment houses who were marketing these collateralized debt instruments that were basically repackaged bad loans from subprime mortgage borrowers. And then you take a look at Barack Obama. He's supposedly the voice of authentic populism, but 7 of the 14 biggest contributors to the first phase of his presidential candidacy were, according to an analysis run by Pam Martins, who had been a supporter of Barack Obama, Goldman Sachs, UBS AG, Lehman Brothers, JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, and Credit Suisse. In other words, you're talking about these donations which are being made by corporate officers of these various high echelon investment banks. Lehman Brothers, by the way, looks like it's going to go the way of Bear Stearns before long. But these are people who helped provide the seed money for the fundraising for Barack Obama's presidential candidacy. And one of the reasons they did that was because way back in February 2005, Barack Obama, who's a very canny lawyer, Harvard-trained lawyer, helped ram through the Senate the Class Action Fairness Act of 2005. Just to cut to the chase as to what this means, what this is doing is providing insulation against civil liability for many of the people who were engaged in fraudulently repackaging these bad loans, these bad collateralized debt instruments. They're trying to find some way of making sure that they don't end up being sued into oblivion or frog marched out of their offices. And so one of the big favors that Barack Obama did before he arranged for the supposed populist run for the president was to help enhance the civil immunity of the people who were engaged in building this cascading economic catastrophe by putting out these bad loans and cynically profiting off them, and then hoping and then knowing that the taxpayer is going to get put on the hook to indemnify them in the process of time. And you take a look at, well, as well as the people who were surrounding him, many of his advisors have a background as corporate lobbyists for many of these same financial and investment institutions. And the way that Pam Martins has it all scoped out is the following. This she calls it the Obama bubble presidency, and she says that it would be the cleanup crew for the housing bubble. It would sweep all the corruption and losses, would-be indictments, perp walks, and prosecutions under the rug and get on with an unprecedented taxpayer bailout of Wall Street. That's how she sees what would happen under Barack Obama. Would be like a new deal, if you will, that would benefit specifically those people for whom the Federal Reserve is now acting as the great big cookie jar. And that's what would happen if Barack Obama is elected. From her perspective, bear in mind, this is somebody who'd been a supporter, a friend and supporter of Barack Obama, who's become disenchanted by her study of what's going on around Mr. Obama's candidacy. And he comes out of the same social activist, cultural Marxist milieu that Hillary Clinton did. They're both disciples of Saul Alinsky. They both came out of the same yeasty ferment of Illinois, I'd say a deep pink or even faint red politics. And they both ended up becoming very much wedded to Wall Street and to the war-making industry as well. And so either way, if you have either McCain or Barack Obama elected president, you're probably going to see an acceleration of one or the other, or maybe both of the two big plagues that are threatening what remains of our prosperity and liberty right now, which is perpetual war overseas and the entrenchment of corporate socialism here at home. I think McCain is much more enthusiastic for open-ended warfare. Barack Obama has not forsworn the idea of going to war against Iran either, but that's not really his métier. And Barack Obama would probably be more enthusiastic for some kind of a radical redefinition of our economy here at home that would include the bailout for Wall Street and then some kind of great national service program for everybody, basically turning us all into serfs working for the federal government. That's something Michelle Obama has rhapsodized about.
Well, it sounds like we have a choice between being shot or being hung.
Pretty much.
Out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you later this week. Bye-bye.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triamethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are
removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who has a business, credit card, automobile, medical, or unsecured loan debt of $10,000 or more, and you can't make your monthly payments, why don't you call David Lemure and his debt settlement company at 866-374-3101. That's 866-374-3101, because they'll contact your creditors, they'll negotiate a 30 to 60% reduction of what you owe, and arrange for a convenient payment schedule that'll get you out of debt in 12 to 36 months. Why don't you call today? Because the penalties and interest on your debt is increasing. And call David Lemure at 866-374-3101. That's 866-374-3101, and start getting out of debt today.
Prepare for an uncertain future with DVDs from the winner of 13 Telly Awards. Hood's Woods is the world leader in survival instructional videos. Hood's Woods produces an outstanding collection of survival DVDs, from cave cooking to survival basics to home survival DVDs, covering topics such as food storage and home emergency planning. You will learn survival techniques for use in the wild and in your very own home, used by scouts, the military, and families around the world. If you would like to learn more about survival, trapping, cave cooking, navigation, tracking, desert survival, and much more, visit survival.com and browse through the largest assortment of survival DVDs online. For the low price of only $19.95 each, you can also purchase the entire 24-DVD Hood's Woods collection by going to survival.com. To place your order or to request a free catalog, call 888-257-2847. That's 888-257-2847. Or visit us online at survival.com. That's survival.com, the world leader in survival instructional videos.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And, of course, whenever we talk about finances, I always suggest my talk on the Financial Tsunami. It's available in video or DVD, and it comes with a syllabus, which we think is important. And you get a cheaper syllabus if you buy it along with a DVD or a video. And then, of course, we have our talk on the Forbidden Secret, because this really puts things into their spiritual perspective. What's happening today, I believe, is, of course, the end result of really hundreds and hundreds of years of planning as we move away from being a sovereign nation towards the nation that is bringing democracy to the world. And then, of course, we'll have our one world government, or we'll have our new world religion, where we'll have our new world leader. But it doesn't necessarily have to happen. We saw time and again throughout history where people pleaded with God to intervene, and so we saw that with Jonah, and of course when he actually went to the people of Nineveh and told them to repent, they did repent, and God held his judgment off on Nineveh for, you know, for 60 years, for almost two generations. Could it happen here? I don't know, but I think we have to try. Under any circumstances, we want you to get the talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with it, the talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that, the material on concentration camps, because people are really beginning to open up. People know something's wrong, and they want to know what's really coming down the line. And so we have a 4-tape set on concentration camps. We have a DVD, Bob Wire Over America. We have, of course, other material on the concentration camps. We have a concentration camp special where we have all sorts of clips going into the background. These are clips, some of them for the Rand Contra hearings, others with Congressman Henry Gonzalez, who says, you know, there really is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution, round up American citizens and put them into concentration camps. Those concentration camps are empty today, but they're there, they're manned, they're ready at any time, of course, to begin to receive citizens from across America. People say it couldn't happen here, and I would say, why couldn't it happen here? If God is just, he's going to bring his judgment on America, especially in California, where we've now legalized gay marriage. How ridiculous. How could two gays get married? Marriage has to do with God's plan for procreation, and tragically, these young people, or even older people, trapped in a lifestyle that is really a death style. They call themselves gay. They're the miserablest people I've ever known. I've talked to many of them. And when they really tell you how they feel, why, of course, they hate what they are. They just don't know how to get out of it. And what society is doing is telling them, stay in it. You can't get out. And, of course, you can get out with the help of our Lord. So, basically, the things that we've mentioned are here. They're available from Radio Liberty, our talk on the financial tsunami and the syllabus. Then we carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you haven't read it, you must get it. It's certainly the best book written by our good friend Ed Griffin. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. His books on gold for survival and gold for investment. And then, of course, the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. That and the other things we've talked about, and so much more, is available from Radio Liberty. So our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly our webpage is radioliberty.com. Go there. You can listen to our programs on the Internet 9 hours a day and not get a thing accomplished. You can get our satellite programs 9 hours a day. You can get our archive programs, our MP3 programs, and we'll be going to put up other things that will help you get these things onto your iPod. So, and then, of course, we do hope that many of you will watch the DVDs. We have a lot of DVDs up there on our website, and hopefully you'll want to buy them and get them to others, but you can watch them if you can't afford. We want you to get the information. We want you to tell others, and then we want you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty through our provision and our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a life.